All right. Matthew 21, verse 6 says this, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt and put them on their clothes, and sat. They sat him thereon, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for just a wonderful, sweet spirit. We've already felt the songs and testimonies, but Lord, I pray that you would use me. Lord, fill me with the unction to preach. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to get out of the way. And Lord, help us to see you through the scriptures today. Lord, I don't know the hearts of everyone here, but you do. If there are any lost, I pray that you would touch and give grace and soften and convict. And Lord, draw them to you. And Lord, any backslidden, I pray that they'd come to find healing and restoration. And Lord, I pray that we would all draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. So if you think about at this time, we are a week before the resurrection. So if we are in Bible, in this passage of the Bible, we call it Palm Sunday. But in the Passover schedule, in that time period, this day when Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the donkey, this would have been that Sunday before the Passover. You would have seen thousands and thousands of Jewish pilgrims that lived all around the world would have come to Jerusalem on this day. So there would have been great crowds flocking. They would have come, and they would have either chosen their lamb beforehand, or they would choose one into the city, and that lamb would later be killed in the actual Passover ceremony and would have been eaten. And so you think about this. Jesus Christ is riding into Jerusalem, not just on any day, but he's riding in on Lamb Selection Day. And you think about that. The requirements of the lamb come from Exodus 12:5, saying, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." And then there is Jesus riding into town. For 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we see on Lamb Selection Sunday, Palm Sunday, there comes the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He fulfilled everything. We talked about it in Sunday school. He perfectly fulfilled the Father's will. You realize James says, "For to know to do good and not to do it for unto that's a sin." That, you know, and that's a hard verse to read. When I didn't quote it exactly right, but kind of paraphrased it. But see, and when God tells us to do something and we don't do it, that's a sin. And you would say, "Well, Mike, I wasn't sure I knew." If you go to this church, we preach God's will enough, and we preach the Bible enough, you know what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, it's a sin. So to be without sin, you'd have to perfectly follow God's will. Everything that God's called you to do. Only one man has ever done that, and that's Jesus Christ. He was riding into Jerusalem that day. See, Jesus had given his disciples instructions earlier on in the chapter to get a specific donkey that no man had ever sat upon. And that was a fulfillment of scriptures so that Jesus could ride not just on any day, but the exact day that was prophesied by both Daniel and Zechariah. So it's no accident. The timing wasn't an accident. The donkey wasn't an accident. The lamb wasn't an accident. And there's Jesus riding from the Mount of Olives to enter into Jerusalem. Do you realize this was all part of God's plan before he created the world? He knew that this would be the day. So last year we kind of preached more on the prophesied day, but I want to look at this year. Look at verse 8. It says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way." So we've got the disciples, but not only them, we've got crowds. Crowds following Jesus into Jerusalem, and then crowds outside of the city. Remember, it had been very crowded at this time, and the Bible says a very great multitude. You realize the Bible isn't like, I don't know about you, I like to use very a lot. It's very big, very neat, right? The Bible very rarely uses the word verily. And it's saying it's a very great multitude. So there is a huge crowd. So try to imagine this in your mind. They're spreading their garments in the way. And realize when King Jehu was anointed king back in the Old Testament, men put their garments underneath of him the same way. And what they were doing is recognizing that he is the king. And that they're saying, we're going to be loyal to you. And we're going to be subject under you. And that's what they were doing that day. They were putting their garments and spreading them out, saying, Jesus, you are the king. And we are going to be your subjects. Not only that, they cut down palm branches and John tells us they were waving them. But here we also see they were laying them in the path that he was traveling. And those palm branches were a symbol of victory. So we've got them declaring Jesus as king. And then we've also got the palm branches of victory and the praise going along. And that's what we see next. See, I told you all those Jewish pilgrims from afar would have been coming and making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And what would happen is the citizens of the city, the ones that lived there, they would do this kind of chant of praise back and forth with the pilgrims that were arriving. And it comes from Psalm 118, 26 through 28. And they would do kind of, one would do one part and the other would respond. So here's what you'd get: one group saying, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then the other group would say, we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Then another group, the first group, would say, God is the Lord, which showed us light. The other group would say, bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Then they'd say, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Another group would respond, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Then they would sing in unison, verse 29, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And finally, they'd end with Psalm 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. And you think about what an amazing time of groups singing back and forth, praising God, proclaiming scripture and psalm back and forth to each other, and huge groups doing this. Oh, but this day was different. They were going off the script today. In fact, in verse 9, the multitudes that went before and they that followed cried, saying, here we've got the two groups, right? The first group was saying this, Hosanna. They cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. The other group said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. So they keep repeating that back and forth. And then John says, they also said, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So all of this praise is going up, all of this excitement in this huge crowd, just the energy, you could just feel it. But you know what? They wanted Jesus to be an earthly king. You realize the original chants that they were doing in Psalms, that those were about Jesus Christ. Those were about him, the Messiah that would come, the light of the world, and he that had come in the name of the Lord. He was their God. But see, what they were trying to do is fast track God's plan. They wanted Jesus to sit on the throne at that point, but it wasn't until later. You want to hear about that day? There's going to be a heavenly Palm Sunday. Revelation 7 verse 9 and 10 says this, John sees this, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. One day there's going to be a great heavenly multitude. It wasn't just very great. The Bible says it'll be so big that nobody could put a number on it. They'll be dressed in white robes, palms in their hands, and they won't just be shouting and praising because he's the king, but also because he was the lamb slain that was risen and is alive forevermore, sitting on the true throne of God who brought salvation unto all the world, and the praises will be true. One day we're going to see that. I believe that, don't you?
Amen.
But here's the day. and I'm trying to think about what was going on. And like I've told you the other day, I try to read this time around from Palm Sunday to the resurrection to try to put myself in what was going on at that time. But do you realize in all of this uproar, all of this, Jesus was causing a stir and a commotion. But what really caught me about this passage is verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. That word moved is almost like saying it was like an earthquake. In fact, he shook the city to the core when Jesus came in. And we know from Luke that the Pharisees were furious. They told Jesus, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." But you know, Jesus told them, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. He's saying, listen, that shaking, that stir that you're feeling, he said, if it didn't come out of their mouths, we would have a real earthquake right here. And that's because he was God. And he was the king coming into Jerusalem, his city. So we see this, a great multitude of people. A man riding on a donkey with coats underneath. And more waving palm branches, crying out, "Hosanna." And it's causing this huge stir. The city, everyone's coming to see what's going on and the commotion. And then here is the question that we have. It's a short question. What does it say? They are asking this. They're saying, who is this? Yeah. Who is this? Right? Who is he? Who's this man? Why is everyone chanting to him? Why are they waving palm branches to him? Why are they spreading their coats in the way? Who is this? Why? Why would they say that? Because they're under Roman rule at the time. And there's an emperor in Rome that's over top of them. Pilate's the governor. He's kind of the regional head of the Roman government there in the area. But you also have the Jewish religious leaders. And they're saying, who is this? We don't. Who is he? They're treating him like king, but who is he? You know, I thought about that question. Many people entered into the city that day. They were journeying to Jerusalem. And they're asking, who is this? Do you realize if the Roman emperor would have entered into the city that day, there would have been crowds, there would have been chariots, there would have been war horses and soldiers marching and chants and everything else. But that wasn't what it looked like that day. There's a single man riding on a donkey, not a war horse, not decked out like they would have been. And he's riding on a donkey. You realize that's a working animal, isn't it? That's an animal that not a king would ride on, but an animal that they would have bred and had to carry burdens. And do you think about that? We've got an animal that's bred to carry burdens, and he's carrying the burden bearer, isn't he? That's Jesus Christ. That is who he's carrying. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who is this is the question. I'll tell you who it is. This is Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Who is it? This is God manifest in the flesh. He's the Redeemer, the Healer, the Good Shepherd, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is this? This is Jesus. Do you realize who else that was? That was Jesus, the one who could hear them and see the crowd saying Hosanna and all the other praises. He saw some in the crowd that he knew later on in the week. The ones that were crying Hosanna today would be the ones crying crucify him in a couple days. It's Jesus, that's who it was. He knew the future. Yeah. He knew what was coming. The multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Do you realize that question, who is Jesus, is the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. Right. Who is he? Some said that he was a prophet. That's what we have in verse 11. Do you realize he's more than a prophet? Yes, he could see the future. He knew what the future held. And he could expound the scriptures like no man, right? They said, never a man spake like this man. Well, he was the scriptures. That's why he could do that. He had authority and power. But it wasn't because God had blessed him and made him a special man. He was fully God and fully man. That was God. Who is Jesus? Some called him king that day, but they wanted an earthly kingdom at that time. But Jesus, the real Jesus, came to die for the sins of the world. and be buried and raised from the dead. And one day, who is Jesus? He's going to come back. And first, I believe he's coming back for the church. And then later on, he's coming back to this earth with us with him. And he will be the conquering king. And he will take over. And he will sit on the throne of David. Yeah. Who is Jesus? Some call him a good moral man. Some call him a spiritual teacher that could lead people to higher enlightenment. But Jesus said this, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm here to tell you, there aren't a million ways to heaven. I heard Calvin Ray, say a man he was witnessing to said, well, there's many ways for me to get from here to the post office. Right? I could, if you're going to the Marengo post office, you could go down 229 or you could go another route. And I probably can't get you there another way. But there are many ways you could get to that post office. You know what Cal said? I'm not going to the post office. I want to go to heaven. And there's only one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? He better be your Savior. Or else you won't get there. You'll stand before him, but you'll be an enemy to him. Jesus isn't one of the ways to heaven. He's the only way. The only way you and I could have our sins to be forgiven is first you have to admit you're a sinner. You know, some won't even get that far. They won't admit that they've sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We talked about this morning in the book of James, to know good, to do good, and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. There's no way we could perfectly do everything God's called us to do and then perfectly not do the things he's told us not to do. You just got to admit you're a sinner. You've fallen short. And just accept what Jesus has already said about us. But then, knowing that if you die as a sinner, you'll open your eyes in hell. Just like the rich man did. But you know what? I'm glad there's hope. Yes. Jesus Christ came to bring hope. And he came to take on the sins of the earth. And that's what he did. He lived a sinless life. And he went on the cross and buried our sins and our burdens and our iniquity. And he died in our place. And he rose from the dead. And now we, if you believe that, you're getting even closer. If you admit you're a sinner and you believe that he did that, the last thing is to call on him. Yes. He wants a personal relationship. He doesn't want a casual one. You know what he equates it to? He's the groom and you're the bride, and he wants to get married and be that way forever. That's what he wants. And he's a jealous God. You know what Oprah said years ago? I didn't like it when they said he's a jealous God. She was thinking of this earthly definition of jealousy. You know what he's saying? Just like a husband and a wife ought to be jealous for each other. Not where you're paranoid and all those things. But I'm not willing to share her with another man. And she's not willing to share me with another woman. That jealousy. God's not willing to share you either. He wants a one-on-one relationship. He wants all of you. And you know what he'll give you in return? All of himself. Amen. He's not holding back. Then why are we? Just come to him today. But that's the question. Who is Jesus? If you ask the question to me, myself, standing up here, who is Jesus? He's my Savior. Not because of I'm a pastor, I belong to this church. He's my Savior because right down the road in Ashley, one evening, after an evening service, I was convicted the whole way home. And I knew I was lost even at 9 years old. But then once we got to the house, we prayed there in the living room. And I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And I've been saved ever since. Not because I've held up anything I've needed to do or I've lived a certain way. Because he lived a certain way. And he died for my sins. And he forgave them.
That's why I can say, who is Jesus? Who is he to me? He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my King. He is my all in all. He's the beginning and he's the end. He is the only reason I can stand here today. And it is by his power and his grace and his authority that I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm not looking at what I've done, because all I look at is if I kept record of what I've done for the Lord, I'd have to write down failure and fault and laziness and everything else. But aren't you glad when he looks at my record, what does he see? He sees where I've done this by faith and that by faith. He has wiped out everything in between. And he'll do that for you as well. If you're afraid you can't live up to perfection, let me break the break it to you real easy. You'll never be perfect, even after you're saved, because there's only one perfect man. If we could live perfectly, he would have never came. We would need someone to die in our place. We'd just live sinless ourselves. But we can't. And we haven't. And we won't in the future. He said, that's why I've taken care of it for the past, for right now, and for the future. That's the real Jesus. Not the one that only works here and there. Not the one that only saves for just a little while. No, he says this is for eternity. That's what he wants, an eternal relationship. Who's Jesus to you? Who is he? Who is he in your life? How important is he in your life? How often do you talk to him? How often do you listen? How often do you get into his word? Who is he? Is he your Savior? If not, he can be. Is he your King today? If not, let him lead you. We talked about it briefly in Sunday school that, you know, James was talking about making plans about they were going to do buy and sell and do this the next year. They were making plans and business plans. And there's nothing wrong with making plans. We have to do that. But he said the problem was making all these plans and not thinking about God. Yeah. Right? He said, wherefore your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. He said, you're making all these plans. What about the plan of your life when it's over? Because you could be snuffed out that quickly. Mel was telling us, if that tree would have been bigger, if she'd have been going a little faster, it could have ended all differently. What were they telling about Jimmy? If that train, 1 second faster, it would have hit right into him. Who knows what's in store for tomorrow? Or you may simply close your eyes tonight and not wake them up on this side. You've got to be ready.
Amen.
But you know what? The thing I love about the Lord, remember, he was riding in and he could scan the crowd, and he's God. And he knew who would let him down. He knew who would turn on him in just a few days. You realize that same God can scan across the same crowd and realize, just like I've already told you about myself, who's going to fail him? Who's going to turn just like Peter and deny when he needed him the most? But he still went all the way. You know what he could have said? I don't want all you. You're just going to be fair weather subjects, right? You like me today, but you won't like me in a couple days. Some didn't like him later on in the day when he cleared out the temple. You realize he still went all the way to the cross, knowing everything we would do against him. That's how much he loves us. That's how much. And if you're thinking, well, I don't think I can live up to it. On your own, you can't. But he'll give you the Holy Spirit, create in you a new heart, make you a new creature. He told Nicodemus, he called it, you'll be born again. And let me tell you something. Sin won't have the same grip that it used to. The devil won't have the same grip that he used to on your life.
And God will help you every step of the way.
Amen.
Maybe you're saying, Mike, I'm struggling right now. You know what? It's okay to struggle. It's okay to not feel good all the time. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to even have times of depression. But you know what? We've got to turn to God. Because
yeah.
A lot of times we're trying to do this on our own, with our own strength, our own power, our own health, our own finances, our own everything. And really what God wants, He said, remember, I want a relationship with you. I want you to turn to me and call on me and rely on me every day. He'll help you out today. You say, Mike, really? You look in this book. If you don't trust me, look in this book. He's helped out men and women all the way through. You know what I like about the Bible? See, if it was a bunch of fairy tales, they wouldn't have all the faults in it.
Right?
But it's real. Real people trying to serve a real God.
Amen.
Why don't you join us today? If you don't know Jesus, today's the day. Why don't you just admit you're a sinner and come to Jesus? If Jesus isn't leading your life, today's the day. You know, it's fun. We forgot the palm branches. We ordered them and everything. Wouldn't that be fun to wave them afterwards? We forgot them. But you know what? You know what's harder to do? It's easy to wave it. It's easy to say things to God with your mouth.
Yeah.
But then what about when you get your calendar out?
Listen, church.
What about when you start planning the next week out? That's when it gets harder.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand. One of the prayer requests I gave earlier was that this week we would draw closer to God. If you're lost, you can't draw any closer than coming to Jesus for salvation. If you're saved today, why don't you take up the challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to draw closer to God this week.
Amen.
He went all the way for me. I want to get a little closer to Him.
Blessing.
He came all the way from heaven to earth to die for me. I want to get a little closer to heaven today. You realize you can do that. This altar, there's nothing fancy about it. But what I've said many times, it's really the seriousness of our heart.
That's right.
Sometimes it takes walking up here not caring.
Yeah.
Who sees you? I tell you what, you'll be blessed if you come up here. Every time I've come up, it's blessed.
Amen.
Me. Because you just get a little more serious with God. Maybe you can't come up. I say at your seat, we're getting ready to sing a song. You pray to Him in earnest and say, God, help me. Maybe as I've been preaching, He's put something on your mind that this is what you need to work on. Ask God to help you today with that. Ask Him. Maybe He's caught. Maybe He said, you know what? Mike touched on the Bible. You need to start getting in the Bible more. Do you realize the devil's going to fight you tooth and nail to not do that?
Sure.
You need to ask God right now to help you. God, I want to do that, but you're going to have to help me.
Yeah.
And that rings true for everything. I think sometimes we act like, what was the church of Laodicea? They were rich and increased with goods, but the Bible says they said they had need of nothing.
Yeah.
When we get like that, when we act like we don't need God, you know what God said they were? Poor, miserable, blind, and naked. That's what He said the reality was.
Yeah.
We could fit that same thing if we don't turn to Him. Brooke's going to start singing if you need to come.